Vrillifying the blood. That's what I'm thinking about today, whilst I walk. I'm not even sure if that's a word, but I'm coining it. Vrillifying. So we all know what vril means. That's the version of prana or chi. All the same thing. All Aryan, of course, because TCM, chi, that's from our lineage. Ayurveda, prana, again, our lineage. And vril, of course, our lineage. Basically, energy. That's what this word means. So many energy stealers and hooverers and vampiric forces, entities out there in the worlds. And if you've lived in the last 2 years, or gosh, even more, but more notably, or most notably rather, in the last 2 years, there's been an agenda to de-vrillify the blood, to defile it, most notably with the Oyedei Eye vaccination, but also with the Oyedei Eye test, with some of those, quote, treatments like ivermectin, remdesivir, even with some of the more alternative ones that they were promoting to people, like taking massive doses of synthetic vitamin C or ascorbic acid. And that, of course, will deplete other minerals in the body like zinc, which we need for proper lymph health and thyroid health and wound healing and all that type of stuff. So many agendas out there to de-vrillify and defile the blood in the last 2 years. But in general, there are so many of these things, from stress to the complete kosher theater of politics and media and all of this type of stuff, fell diet, emotional trauma. Gee whiz, there are so many things out there that are defiling the blood, not to mention things like transfusion, of course, miscegenation. So yeah, I mean, there's many things out there that we're up against, but of course, on the bright side, I always like to think about how we can optimize, many things we can do to vrillify the blood. So that's what I want to talk about today in this little mini clip. I want to talk about how we can charge up, energize that blood, and such an important thing. And of course, you know, in allopathy, they talk about the blood a lot, but not really in the context that's of importance to us. It's just gathering it and tabulating it and doing who knows what with it. But maybe you're dealing with some blood deficiency or some blood stagnation. Of course, these are not Western terms. These are terms that they utilize in the TCM modality, traditional Chinese medicine. So what would be some signs of blood deficiency? Maybe you're dealing with this. Ridged, brittle nails, dry eyes, eye floaters, blurred vision, or night blindness, irregular or scanty menses, being irritable or frustration. That could all be a sign of blood deficiency. And of course, these conditions are easier to acquire as we get older, and the stresses and the traumas just keep on piling up like a Dagwood sandwich, unless, of course, we take care of it. Something else, blood stagnation. This is what also what they call blood stasis. That's the same thing, and it will manifest in different ways, and they would call it different things in the Western allopathic medicine, but we're talking from the holistic perspective, the real holistic, not any of that alt Zog Light style of stuff. So what are some signs of blood stagnation? Things like having sharp pain around the ribs, headaches with fixed stabbing pain, painful irregular menses with purple or brown blood, abdominal masses, enlarged liver or spleen. So these are all possibilities of blood stasis. Also having a high platelet count in allopathy when you get your blood drawn, that would be another indicator of blood stasis. And oftentimes a lot of the estrogen dominant symptoms for women as well as for men can be a sign of blood stasis, because things aren't flowing freely. And also at times it could be emotionally, I guess, and that could be an issue too. It could be emotionally motivated, be stress, maybe filial stress, most importantly, because that is our blood, even though many times we don't feel as comfortable or close to our blood based on, you know, many, many things, and especially the lack of camaraderie or, you know, other traumas and such. So it's a multi-layered topic. So what are some things we can do to help with blood deficiency and blood stagnation? One thing we can do is to utilize herbs, some herbs that are actually very good for for getting the blood basically moving and just kind of keeping the body healthy. We've talked about these before, but I'll mention them. Nettles, that's a good one. Dandelion leaf, as well as dandelion root. Red raspberry leaf, these can all be mixed together too. You can make your own little infusion with just these three together, or just do what they call a simple in herbalism, where you utilize one. And something else, another herb that can be utilized to build the blood, especially for blood deficiency, would be Dung Quai, also known as Angelica sinensis. This is used to purify the blood as well as helping with PMS and menstrual cramps. So something else right there. Another one, astragalus, known as Huang Kui. This can widen the blood vessels and increase the amount of blood that's pumped through the body. So this would be good for the blood stasis or the blood stagnation. So some herbal ideas right there on how to purify our blood and get our blood flowing. And they say in the metaphysical and the emotional ways of looking at dis-ease, that when someone has a blood issue, it's a lack of joy. It's kind of the same or similar when someone has, you know, diabetes, typically type 2, when they say that person's life is no longer sweet, right? So we can see how it all comes full circle when we incorporate these actual holistic modalities as opposed to just taking the allopathic or the alt Zog light, which is really just treating symptoms, just using herbs and supplements as opposed to Dr. Z's white pills. And what are some foods we can utilize to assist with cleansing our blood and building it up, especially if we're dealing with blood deficiency? There are many lovely, tasty foods we could utilize. We could utilize dark leafy greens, cooked, of course, easier to digest, and I think tastier. And of course, you know, cooking them in a saturated lipid, you want to use a ghee or a duck fat or something like that. Kale is nice. Dandelion greens, watercress, these can be added to soups as well, stews. Eating red foods, red meats, of course, so ruminant meat, lamb, mutton, bison, venison, beef, stuff like this. Eating beets. Beets are good too. Of course, the red beets, even though the goldy ones are good too, the red ones are better for blood deficiency. Eating salmon, of course, trying to get wild salmon because that's way healthier and has a better lipid profile. Eggs are also a good thing to build up the blood. Beef liver, or really any liver, is also very good for building up the blood, or any food that has high B6, and liver is a good source of B6. Of course, any raw ruminant meat is going to be a source of B6. Sometimes the B6 is not as present when it's cooked. And other things that we can utilize to build up our blood: citrus fruits because of the vitamin C, lemon, orange, lime. Berries, especially red berries like strawberry and raspberry. And also think about a vitamin C powder. We've talked about this before on the broadcast, just using a vitamin C powder that's made from Arceola cherries or Camu Camu. The Arceola ones are, of course, more racially appropriate. So just some ideas there of some foods, some tasty, normal, whole foods, you know, just animal foods and fruits and vegetation that you can work into your regime to build up your blood, especially in these wild times to be alive. Always taking that time to take care of yourself. Very, very important. And today is 3-3-2-2. I think that's pretty cool. 3-3-2-2. And I think that's all I have to say. I'm going to enjoy this walk. And one more thing. It's a great day to be alive. So what are you doing today to celebrate how great it is to be alive?